Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
And we're back. This is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. And we are getting ready for OTAs starting on Tuesday. The first set of OTAs is going to be May 23rd through 25th. That's this Tuesday through Thursday. We're going to be out there on the Tuesday for all three of these sessions. That is the first practice of the three. The next one's going to be May 30th through June 1st. So that's a week from tomorrow. From Tuesday, June 5th through June 8th is the following week. And then mandatory mini camp, which would be June 13th through 15th. Then training camp is at the end of July. We kind of went through in the last segment, you know, who we expect to be out there, who we don't. One of the few people that we are very confident we won't see is due to health and injuries. And so that's why I thought this interview with David Chow, the Pro Football Doc, was interesting. You know, like, and last year, you know, he talked to us at WWL and he was, you know, I know it made Mike Thomas angry. I think he said your favorite fantasy football doctor lied to you or something along those lines. That's around the same time that he was publicly feuding with Jeff Duncan, which I still think is funny that Jeff had no idea what was happening until someone told him afterward. He just did not hear it. But, you know, I appreciate that Mike Thomas, because it at least lets me know that Mike Thomas is still engaged. And that's what you do have to wonder about with Mike, because you see him so infrequently. We don't see him. Like, once he got hurt and didn't come back, we didn't talk to him again. We talked to Alvin about Mike. We didn't talk to Mike once from week three on. So it's like we just have to kind of wait and see. But yeah, what did you think of that interview before we play it?
No, I'm totally agreeance with you on Mike Thomas. You know, the Saints definitely treat him with kid gloves and are very protective of, you know, putting him in front of us at all. But with Dr. Chow, I mean, you obviously respect his knowledge, having been a lead doctor for teams in the NFL, and what he brings to the table here, and wasn't necessarily wrong in the information he gave us with Mike T. And I did find it obviously pretty eye-opening of what he thinks about the receiver going forward as well. And it's, you know, obviously dealing with a slew of injuries these past couple of years, it basically we're never going to see that same Michael Thomas that we're used to on the field again, like it or not.
Yeah, and I mean, like, if you're wondering about his credentials, go look him up on Twitter at Pro Football Doc. I mean, he was a lead NFL doctor, team doctor for 17 years. Like, he knows what he's talking about. And one thing that he's always careful about is to make it clear, like, I'm not treating these people.
Yes.
I'm not treating these athletes, but I am analyzing what their injuries are and what that means to their outlook. And so he looks at a lot of this and kind of projects it into, you know, a fantasy football sense in a lot of instances of like, okay, you're trying to figure out not only how significant this injury is in a football sense, but how long is it going to keep him out? How much is it going to affect him? Because I think that's what a lot of people don't consider as they get down toward the end of the season. Like, if you go back to that 2020 season and the Saints and the Bucs are playing in the playoffs, Michael Thomas is out there. But that's not Michael Thomas.
Right.
If Michael Thomas does not catch a pass in a football game, Michael Thomas is not on the field. And he wasn't. He was playing on one leg. And so you have to consider it a little bit more than like, oh, yeah, he can get out there. It's like, yeah, he's battling. But that's not like what percentage was he playing at? Like in the wild card game, maybe he was like a 70. In that AFC championship game, he might have been like a 60. And Carlton Davis is now going to use that as his like Mount Rushmore performance that he beat Mike Thomas. I'm like, anyway, I do think like thinking about injuries in a more aggregate way of like, yes, after a certain point, it does slow you down is important if, as a kind of analyzing sports and kind of getting further in the season. Because like Drew Brees, another example, like I don't think Drew Brees was Drew Brees during that AFC Championship game. Maybe he was still good enough to potentially win that game if Jared Cook doesn't undermine everything that they were trying to do. But he was not like he was playing with like a torn labrum and all this like Brittany Brees like kind of threw him under threw all of the information out there into the wild after the season ended. But yeah, it's important. And I think how you kind of assess injuries is important to when you're analyzing the game. But here is that interview that we did with David Chow on Sports Talk.
Chow, for giving us some time, Pro Football Doc. When we hear that about hardware being taken off of the injured foot or slash toe, what does that entail for Thomas? And when you hear Dennis Allen speaking about the recovery, just what's your take and what do you think we can expect from Thomas?
Well, of course, you know, we're looking at things from afar, and I think we talked before that when he was coming off the ankle, I was saying that Michael Thomas was more likely going to be the third receiver for the Saints than a top three receiver in the league. And obviously, last year with his injury, he was the fourth wide receiver for the Saints behind Olave, Shaheed, and then Landry. Look, I'm not that doom and gloom this time, but it is certainly concerning. It was a second toe injury. I would have felt that he should be a little further along than he is. But certainly for the head coach to say he's hoping slash expecting, look, the 49ers are hoping, right? And the other thing that Coach Allen talks about, and it's very real, 2019 is the last year that Michael Thomas finished the season and had a great season. 2020, a little less than half. 2021, zero. And last year, very few games. That's a lot of time out of the game and getting back into football shape, et cetera. What he has going for him, he's a big body receiver, so he can make some catches based on his size. But that's a high hill to climb, and we'll have to see how he looks. I mean, in the past, he's always posted a lot of videos of himself, you know, working out, and that kind of gives us some better idea of how he might be. But I can understand why people are a little bit worried right now.
Dr. Chow, thanks for coming on. I think one thing we've heard a lot of things about toe injuries, especially this past season with the Saints, it feels like everyone's had a toe injury. Mike Thomas's is a little distinctive because he had a dislocation of that second toe. And I'm just curious if you could just give us some perspective, because I think from an outsider's kind of point of view, it's like, really a toe? How is a toe keeping you out for this long? But, you know, what are some of the challenges of dealing with that, especially for an NFL player who obviously needs to use those feet pretty well to play at this type of level?
Well, there's no question the great toe, the first toe, the big toe is way more important than any other joint.
Right.
And that's the turf toe joint and everything else. The second toe is, you know, the second most important. But the great toe is at least 50% of the push-off power. And the second toe is significantly less. You know, the pinky toe you probably could, quote, chop off, so to speak, right? And the second toe is the second most important, and it can be a factor. And obviously, you hear it from Dennis Allen. I feel like I'm a really bad reporter. I happened to be in Arizona during the owners' meeting in the cocktail function and got introduced to Dennis Allen, but I didn't ask him specifically about Michael Thomas. I wouldn't want to submarine him anyways. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek. The idea is that coaches are always going to be hope springs eternal right now, right? Everyone says whatever. But here's the thing. Okay, let me ask you this question. Who would you guys at this point have more faith in? Odell Beckham Jr. with the Ravens or Michael Thomas with the Saints? They've both had their injury issues, and I think you can make a case either way. I know nationally there was a line put out on Odell Beckham futures prop that was at 575 or something like that. Not super optimistic for Odell Beckham because it was his second ACL. But then again, he's had a year and a half to recover from it, whereas Michael Thomas has been, you know, three seasons now with a variety of injuries and not ready to go. Odell Beckham's going to be full go in for a training camp and full go for OTAs. Michael Thomas isn't. So, yeah, I think there's some reason to have some concern. No reason to panic. We'll have to see how he does and turns around, and I'm sure he'll post his videos about how he's moving and running, and then we'll judge from there.
You know, it is. I think it's a good question with the difference between Odell Beckham and Mike Thomas, and it's one of the reasons I felt a little bit more optimistic last year probably than I should have been, in that Mike is a bigger receiver. He's never really used athleticism as a crutch to get open in the NFL. He's the king of the contested catch, whereas Odell, I think you probably do need that dynamic athleticism at his size to be effective. But, you know, then you watch it in action, you get through three games, and it's just, you know, one thing after another. And I guess I wonder, when you do have those repetitive lower body injuries, is it just bad luck at this point, or does it point to, you know, some structural issues, or, you know, you're compensating in one way and it leads to more injuries? Does one thing lead to another, or is it more likely just like, hey, he's just been snake bit?
Well, usually the truth is somewhere in between, right? Yeah. There's probably a snake bit component, but certainly in the kinetic chain, as we call it, one injury can lead to another in terms of compensation. And, you know, these guys are race cars, Indy cars. They rev at very high levels to perform, you know, and you're right about he's lifting 500 plus pounds, but that's not the game of football. That's not what he has to do to run, jump, and move. And you are right, being a big body receiver, you know, that doesn't go away, you know, he's being a big body receiver. So he's not like, a smaller receiver that really relies purely on separation to get open, make catches. And that's what he does have going in his favor.
And there it is. If you want to listen to that full interview, you can go over to WWL and check that out.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
But yeah, I do think that he makes some interesting points there. And I think it is worth mentioning that he is more optimistic this year than he was last year. And I think part of that is, for Mike Thomas, you're at least not coming back from the ankle, right? Like, what last year at this time, it was like, man, is his ankle ever going to allow him to play at the level that you remember Mike Thomas, which is 2019, 149 catches, or was it 149? I think it was. And that's not what he's coming back from this year. It's the toe, it's the foot, but it's not that ankle where it's like Steph Curry. If you want to go back early in Steph Curry's career, you know, not only were you not sure whether he could win championships or do whatever he's done, you weren't even sure he could make it through a season. He had glass ankles. They just kept getting hurt and hurt, and he eventually kind of adjusted his footwear, and I'm sure he worked a lot to strengthen those ankles, and he ended up being obviously the Steph Curry that everyone knows. But that was a serious question. It was not like just, you know, oh, people going crazy on the internet. It was a serious question because he just kept having seasons significantly impacted by ankle injuries. And for me, that is the one difference this year for Mike T, is you at least are not questioning the ankle. Now, the toe, the foot, can his feet hold up? It's a whole different question. But I think it is a much lower hurdle to try to get past.
Yeah, Dr. Chow did mention that he's a little concerned with the fact that he thinks the toe recovery might be taking a little longer than expected. But I'm sure that just everybody being extra careful, just due to the history we've seen Michael Thomas go through with that ankle that you were just talking about, kind of thing. But man, yeah, when he was back on the field last year, those three games, it looked like the old Mike T again. And that's definitely encouraging, at least.
And the ankle was never an issue, right? Like that's the thing, is what people need to remember. He hasn't missed basically three seasons due to
the same
a variety of injuries. It has been ankle surgery, setback on the ankle surgery, this. This is different. So like, at least there is that. And it's a small, you know, the thing to pull out of it. But I do think that it's significant. And I don't like,
from my understanding, is like this is the timeline that they had set. It's not like they're set back in any way. And like he was supposed to be ready at this point and he's not. Like this is the schedule playing out where he had some hardware in his foot. That's what you referenced at the beginning of that interview. It got taken out recently. And so that's obviously a surgery. It's a minor surgery, but it is still a surgery. So it takes some time to recover from. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was one of the last steps to getting that ramp up that I'm sure we're going to get hear a lot about. But, you know, I again, it's like I don't question whether he can be out there for camp. And I don't think that the timeline that you're dealing with right now is an issue in any way, just like it wasn't last year. It's like we're going to talk through about it all through camp. We're going to say Mike Thomas looks great. But the question is not going to be answered until you get into the regular season and he can play. What? How many games in a row? Right? Like how many games can you like? I would be fine if he played 3 out of every 4 games, right? Like that 3-game stretch last year. Great. Week 4, he's out. Fine. But he needs to be back week 5 and then play week 6 and week 7, week 8. Fine. Take it off. You're fine. Week 9, 10, 11, you should be out there. Right? Like I would be fine with that. I would be very fine with that because I think it would portend for a team to make the playoffs. And then it's like, okay, I don't care how much you play in the second half of the season, as long as you're there for the playoffs, right? It's like the last few seasons from an offensive perspective have been very much like watching a team with like one hand tied behind its back.
Yeah.
And I just hope that changes.
Yeah, and Mike T, the notion that he's, you know, holding out or he doesn't want to play for the team, I hope we're beyond that with some of the chatter on social media and all. If there's anybody that wants to be out there, you know, the way Michael Thomas works, the way he's dedicated to his craft, to getting his body in tune. We saw him doing that crazy deadlifting amount of weight, and the strength has never been a problem. We love the fact that he's able to get those contested catches. We just need the man's lower body, lower extremities, that ankle and foot to stay healthy for the season. And I would think we're all good. Of course, something else could happen. I don't want to jinx anything, but man, if we could just get Michael Thomas's feet in the right order, we should be good with him for this season. And yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it just because, like you said, he's going to look amazing. We're going to talk about, oh my God, how we just burned Marshawn Lattimore on a route.
Yeah. Maybe they should just replace like all of his toes with like bionic toes.
Whatever works, right. Sure.
You know, and it's funny because like at this point, I don't even care about that conversation of like, oh, he doesn't want to be here, whatever. He would much rather be playing somewhere else. Like, you can have that conversation. It doesn't matter whether he does want to play somewhere else or he doesn't. If he wanted to play somewhere else, he could have gone and done that this offseason.
Amen, right.
So either he does want to, and there's no deal out there for him, which means that he doesn't have a choice anyway, or he doesn't want to, and it doesn't matter. So, like, I don't really care about that argument. It doesn't matter either way. Next offseason, fine. If he doesn't want to be here, he can go hunt for a deal somewhere else. But that deal is not going to exist unless he plays well for the Saints this year. So, like, I have no question whether he's going to go out there and give full effort. The only question is whether he physically can do it. And it's been the same question for the last 3 years. And I don't think it has anything to do with motivation or try hard. It's all about just, you know, I hope it's luck, right? Like, that's the problem is like after a certain amount of times, it's just what happens. And, it, you know, it's no longer luck. But yeah. And he's not the only injured player, but it's just every year it's going to be the same conversation until he's no longer on the team.
You mentioned the fact that if he could have, he would have went somewhere else kind of thing. And I'll just go circle back to also when Derek Carr was signed, you know, the tweet with the praying hands together and saying, thank you, Jesus. So that to me,
he wants to be here.
He wants to be here. And he's really looking forward. It seems to be working with Derek Carr. So I think Saints fans should be excited about that notion.
And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he did kick the tires and see if there were any deals out there. That's what your agent's there for, right? But I don't think that process went very far. I mean, like, he didn't drag it out, right? Like, that his restructure and his renegotiated deal got done way earlier than it had to get done. So, like, what, regardless of how aggressively he pursued leaving, if he did at all, it didn't last very long.
Yeah, and just I mean, he's got to realize, too, that as good and as dominating as he once was, it just that hasn't been the case, unfortunately, for the last 2 years.
Except for week one. He was good in week one. But yeah, he's not the only injured player. Like Trevor Penning, Cesar Ruiz, it's going to be a question too. Kendra Miller, I genuinely think that Kendra could go out there and play and it's completely fine. And it's just a matter of the team playing it safe. Like if this was college, he would be there. He'd be on the field.
Knock on wood. I'm trying to think about defense and I can't really think of anybody that's we're you know, nursing an injury coming back from at least.
No, last year you had Marcus Davenport and Pete Werner, who were both kind of working off to the side, and Marcus May. He was coming back from the Achilles. So, yeah, last year you had three key defensive players, three starters, all dealing with injuries to start camp. And right now, fingers crossed, that is not the case for anybody. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess the only one you worry about coming in and who needs to have that productive, I'm not going to even say a breakout year, just have a productive season is, you know, former first round pick and Peyton Turner, who we've seen have a list of injuries already.
But I mean, like he's been healthy in camp.
Right.
So I don't even know. Like I thought he looked good last camp. That's the thing that kind of really surprised me is like, I thought he had a good camp. I thought he looked good. I thought he looked like he had improved from year one. He was fighting with Trevor Penning, right? It was competitive.
Yeah,
and then you get to the regular season, and he's just nowhere to be found. And I don't know if part of that is just being stuck in a rotation behind Marcus Davenport, right? Like maybe with more kind of first team reps, he can build on that. But, you know, it's got to be there and you got to see it. But again, like I thought that he looked like much improved during camp, and maybe it was a mirage. Maybe it's just, you know, that season just didn't go the way he had hoped. I don't know. Week two, you're already a healthy scratch. We'll see.
Yeah, but, yeah. I thought that was interesting, too. I agree with you. Turner looked like he was doing a lot of good things, but I just remember that Coach Dennis Allen was definitely very hesitant to praise anything, and there was still, you know, well, we got to see more. It's still kind of that work in progress kind of thing.
Yeah, and it was the exact opposite for, like, a Juwan Johnson, who was getting all the praise in the world, and it was like, yeah, they're going to re-sign this guy, and they're going to extend him, and he's going to be a major part of the offense, and he was. So, yeah, it's and at the same time, everyone was heaping praise on Dejon Dixon and Dennis was like, yeah, he needs to be better on special teams. And then he got cut. Right. So it's not always what you see. It's kind of what you don't see, too. And that's why those interviews are actually, you know, valuable because, you know, it's like it doesn't really matter what I think. It matters what the coaches think, right?
Yeah, they're the ones that matter. It's crazy. They don't listen to us media members, right?
Sometimes I wonder if they do, and then I'm like, no, they don't. Of course not. Why would they? Although they keep drafting the players that I say they're going to draft, so maybe they are listening to my mock drafts.
You definitely got the pipeline. This year was definitely you and Jeff Ireland's fingerprints all over that draft.
Yeah. Next year, you're going to be like, man, we always get these picks wrong. And I'm like, no, I don't. anyway, all right. Let's wrap up that segment. We're going to come back. We're going to play you an interview with Drew Brees. Also from last week on Sports Talk, he got into a lot of really interesting things, and he had some very glowing comments to say about Taysom Hill, which I know Taysom Hill is always a fun conversation to be had in the Saints family. So we'll kind of talk about that. So stick around on Inside Black and Gold.